Amen. All right, I'd like to read it, 1 John chapter 5, and I'll start reading at verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. World overcomers. You are a registered world overcomer. Amen. I'm excited about that. Praise God. All right, tonight I want to talk about two things, and I'm going to go straight through them. And kind of move kind of fast, because I'd like to really cover all of this, because it is related. We're talking about overcoming the world, and this New Testament describes what Jesus died to provide for you and I, all the promises, some, 8,000 promises or whatever have you. But we have to access those promises by faith. If you go into Hebrews chapter 11, that's what it talks about in what I call the hall of faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. And it goes on down. Now, as we look at this, this faith is necessary for us to not only access what belongs to us, but for us to be able to reach our destinies. For you and I to get to be what God has called us to be, to have what he's called us to have, and to do what he's called us to do, we're going to have to do it by faith. One of the things that I want to bring out here is that faith sees the results. Faith sees the results. Now, you can add the fact that it goes after it or whatever you want to have it, but faith sees results. Now, I'd like to give you a couple examples of that, because some people say blind faith. And there's nothing blind about faith. I'd like to show you a concept. And go back to Luke, if you would, Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 16. You and I were born again. And once we are born again, we now have the same nature as our Father, Almighty God. Matter of fact, the Bible says you are gods, having that same nature. Now, what we have to do is renew our minds, because our minds don't know that. And we have to renew our minds to how to live in that divinity. And how you see yourself has a lot to do in the kingdom with what you can receive and how far you go. How you see yourself. All right? Now, this is a teaching. I've taught it before, starting at verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which it was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That means that he sat on his patio drinking mint juleps and so forth. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember, underline remember, that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. All right, besides this, between us, there's a great gulf. I won't go into that. All right, so this is a concept. And there's two kinds of believing. You can believe with the head or believe with your sense knowledge experience, or you can believe with your heart. And that is to believe the Word of God without any physical evidence. Okay? God called you, of course, to believe the Word of God. Okay? Your heart loves that, by the way. It loves, your spirit loves it when you fast. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. All right. Now, what I'm bringing out is that there are two dimensions here. And if you'll put it up on the screen, please. And if you just keep something right there, and I'm going to flip to it real quickly. It's 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter, I want to get my numbers right here. 2 Corinthians, I'm in Ephesians. Yeah, it must be there. Hold on just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, yeah. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that's the flesh, that's the physical part of you, the inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. That's the spiritual part of you. So there's two people here. There's an outward man and an inner man. Now watch the next verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So I've got two realms that I'm dealing with. One is the temporal, which is, let's call it below the line. That's the physical. The other one is the eternal. That's above the line, which is spiritual. One is seen, the other one is not seen. Got it? Unseen, if I could use that expression, okay? So I've got these two realms. Now, in these two realms is where I live. This is called the complete spectrum of reality, okay? But the temporal realm is subject to change. The eternal isn't. Got it? Now, in that eternal realm, there is no time as we know it. Time was placed in the temporal realm. Got it? So, when I'm dealing with faith, I leave time and go to the eternal. Now, I'm operating on a spiritual level that is able to control every physical thing. So, physical thing including time. Got it? So, faith dominates time. Where it would take time to get healed, I can get healed by faith. Got it? All right? Now, we're going to talk about fear here shortly. But remember, fear is designed to keep you in the temporal. And if you stay in the temporal and never get in the eternal, the enemy will put a ring in your nose and lead you around town. I'm just letting you know that right now. That's his realm. That's where he dominates. But the only way you can dominate him is go above him. And you have above him potential. It's not in your flesh. It's in your spirit. Got it? So, in this story that we read, now let me just finish this right here. He said, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So things are going to come against you as a believer, but he said, it's going to be light and momentary.
While we look, not at the things that are what? Seen, and the things but the things that are not seen. See, if you start looking at what's seen and you don't go up into what's not seen, then your afflictions are going to be heavy and they're going to last. Are you with me? All right. Now come back to Luke's gospel. Do you have that now? So the best thing you can do when you start running into affliction is get on the word, because the word is eternal. The word is God. You can take the word and defend yourself against the temporal things, because Satan is locked into the temporal. He cannot get into the eternal. He was thrown out of that realm, and he's roaming around on the earth as a lion seeking whom he may devour. And he can only do it through deception. So that's why you can tell him what to do. All right, so, amen. Now, what happened? Two people died. One of them was a rich man who sat on his patio in purple, sipping and dipping. All right. But the other one was a beggar who sat by his gate. Now, so I'm assuming this is an estate. Okay. So he sat by his gate daily, and he, of course, begging for food. But what was the condition of the beggar? Okay. One, he was immobile. Somebody had to put him there. Second, he was sick. All right. So forth. So you can go through all these things. Dogs came and licked his sores. And it's a lot about them dogs. Who let the dogs out? Now, I'm saying that because dogs will come and lick your sores. See, when you've been hurt and you've got some kind of abuse image that somebody hurt you, they walked out on you, or whatever have you, and you carrying a little bitterness and all that stuff attracts dogs. It attracts dogs. Dogs, if you know anything about a dog licks himself when he hurts himself. Sure, a dog's saliva has healing in it. That's all. I'm not going to go any further down that road. But you got it? So what you got to do is get healed. You can't do that, because you'll find people come out of marriages and got hurt and everything, and the next thing you know, they had another one getting hurt again. Why? Because the dogs came. Who let the dogs out? Okay. All right. That wasn't my lesson tonight, but let's keep going anyway. So you got to wait till you get healed. Okay. Because you'll be attracting somebody, next thing you know, they're fooling you, deceiving you, and next thing you know, you hurt again. The reason why is because the hurt is on the inside, and you're attracting somebody to lick it. All right, now, so come on, let's go. So now what happens is these two people died. Now understand, one of them died and went into Abraham's bosom. Now where is Abraham's bosom? It's the upper region it's above hell, a region called Sheol. And it's an area that's a holding place for the people who are believers, and they had to be there until Jesus came. And once Jesus came, remember, he paid the price for all of our sins, and then he went into that place and led captivity captive. He led them out of that place and marched them on up into glory, where they had a big celebration. Now, all of these were the saints that were all lined up down there waiting on the Messiah. You got what I'm saying? All right, so this poor beggar went there.
Now I understand that means that in our minds he was saved. But he was saved and broke. He was, come on, saved and sick. This is the kind of condition that people are in, and God doesn't want us there because that all those things had been paid for. Now we're going to get enough knowledge to get an understanding of what it takes to manifest total healing for the body of Christ. If Jesus healed them all back then, he's still in the same business today. Say amen to that. All right. So the beggar, the rich man, went to hell. So that tells me Jesus did preach on hell. Amen. Now you don't hear many sermons about hell today. That's why a lot of folk don't have the fear of the Lord. But if these preachers get back up in these pulpits and start telling some folk you going to hell and describe it, somebody gonna wanna straighten up and fly right. Okay, I'm telling you. We're gonna add a teaching to our foundation series, and that last teaching is gonna be called Eternal Judgment. See, cause some folk think you can just do anything. This is not the kind of life you're supposed to want to live. Say amen to that. Oh, I'm preaching better than you saying amen to that. All right, now here's my point to you. Is that this rich man, poor man, was at the gate. And I'm just throwing this in there, there's no charge. He was on the wrong side of the gate. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, notice what happened. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, this doesn't mean that just because somebody's rich, they're going to hell.
That's right.
That has been a wrong interpretation of that, okay? This man's wealth is what he trusted in and so forth. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, I think I'm reading it right, that verse. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Now leave that up there, please. Notice he said, send Lazarus. So he's still ordering folks around. And when folk go to hell, they don't lose that disposition that they had when they was in earth. They still, you know what I'm saying? That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am what? Tormented in this flame. Now question, you can take it down now. Where was this rich man's body? His body was 6 feet in the earth, cause ashes to ashes, come on, dust to dust. Got it? But the body is only a house. Now this rich man is in hell with his spiritual part. Are you following what I'm saying? But notice in this part, notice what he said, send Lazarus that he may dip what? The tip of his finger in what? Water and cool my what? Tongue. Notice his body was 6 feet under and his body had eyes in it, a tongue in it, the same body he had when he was here, but yet in hell he had eyes. He had tongue, he had a mouth, he could speak, looked like everything he could do with the spirit, he could do with his body. Well, here's the deal. The only reason he could do it with his body is because he could do it with his spirit. Look at this jacket. This jacket is gonna go on me, but look at it now. Got it? But once it goes on me, then it takes a form of me. The only reason you got arms is because you got arms.
Now, let me try to make it clearer.
The only reason your body has a tongue is because your spirit has a tongue. It's just covering every part of you. Your body is a reflection of your spirit. You see a shadow of me out there, you say, oh, I know that shadow right there. That's Pastor Winston right there. Why? Because it looked like me. See, it's not me, but it looks like me. So my point of view to you is, it's just like you have five physical senses: eyes, ears, hearing, nose, smelling, mouth, tasting, fingers, touching. You have the same level of senses in your spirit. And you can taste the word. Folks, I remember going into a restaurant one time and I couldn't eat meat in there. You know why? I smelled death. I had to get out of there. If you ever smelled death, I'm talking about in the spirit. See, you can train your spiritual senses that they can do more than your natural senses. Does this make sense to you? Ooh, Lord Jesus. Boy, that was... All right, where am I now? All right, now... So, our outward man perish, but our inward man is renewed day by day. So, faith comes from the inward man. And it is what I call the sixth sense. Are y'all following me? This faith is what we use to operate with those senses. Oh, I'm telling you, man, this thing is getting deep here. I'm going to back off here. All right, watch this. So, Jesus, I use the example of Dr. Frederick Casey Price. I said, what happened was he was operating in faith and he wanted or needed a new car. That he had a car that he had been wrecked on the sides and on the front and the back. And I tell you that the way he describes it, his daughters had wrecked it. All right. Well, he sowed a seed or whatever he did and believed that he received it. Wow. You with me? Amen. Turn to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. Let me know when you get there. He said this in Mark 11:24. In verse 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So he had believed that he received his car. Now understand, he had to make sure that a car was part of his inheritance. So he believed he received it, and he began to confess it. He began to keep his faith on it, believing every day, thanking the Father that he had received it. Now he's pulling up at one of his speaking engagements at a church in California, and he pulls up in his old raggedy car. Well, what I said is that his wife felt a little embarrassed because he was going inside and preaching how good God is and how prosperous he's made us. Then they get it outside and get in this jalopy and drive off. Now watch this. But it didn't bother him because he wasn't going by the temporal. You got what I'm saying? He wasn't going by what he could feel, touch, taste, smell with the temple. He was going by what he believed he received. Say amen to that. And in that invisible realm is everything God has for you, because he saw what you were going to need before you were ever coming into the earth and prepared it and put it all in that realm. Now that's your inheritance. What he did is he took his faith and accessed it. Now he's got to wait, and his faith has got to be developed so he can bring it into manifestation. Now understand, it's done already. It's not going to be done. It's already done. Now if it's already done, act like it. Say amen to that. So driving that raggedy car didn't bother him at all. Why? Because faith sees the results. Faith sees the future. Doesn't bother you at all. I know you don't have the money right now, but you believe you've received it. And when you believe you've received it, you gotta shout now. Not when it comes in. Now think about it. That's not only for his car. That's for everything in this earth that God has promised you, because the enemy is the only one that'll try to keep it from you. God's answer to your request for your promise is yes and amen. He doesn't hesitate. If you got the faith, go get it, brother. If you got the faith, go handle it, sister. Now, what kind of faith do you have? The faith that takes and not the faith that waits. The man was waiting by the pool of Bethesda, sitting there waiting 38 years, jumping up every now and then when the angel stirred up the water. And he didn't just, Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? He said, well, I have no man when the water is troubled. When I jump up, somebody else always jumps in front of me. Now, watch this. You cannot blame and walk in faith. Oh, I'm helping somebody now. You cannot blame and walk in faith. Let me tell you, God taught me about blaming the last few days. He said, blaming is designed to steal your image that God has placed in you of being royal. It is designed, blaming, glory to God. You got to hear what I'm saying now. Don't blame anybody. Your days of blaming folks are over. The only reason people blame folk is because when they do, they give that person power to govern their future. I'm not giving you no power to govern my future. You can get mad at me all you want to. I ain't gonna blame you. Come here, let me hug you. Does this make sense to you? You cannot afford to blame. Blaming, it's dangerous. Now he sat right there. As long as he blamed, he didn't move. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Well, I got no man when I jump up, you know, Jake and them jump in front of me and so forth. Blame and all that. Say amen to that. What did Jesus say? Rise. Watch this. Take up your bed. Come on and walk. Now, that'll preach right there. Three steps. Rise first.
Rise. He's not talking about outside. Rise up on the inside. Because if you rise up on the inside, the outside got to stand up. Boy, I'm preaching. Y'all got me preaching tonight, Doc. I didn't come here to preach tonight. This is teaching here tonight.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Don't blame.
Yes, sir.
Your days of blaming are over.
Yes, sir.
Blaming is out to snatch your image. Don't do that anymore.
Yes, sir.
It's bad for your health.
Yes, sir.
All right? So, I said, my statement was that faith sees the results. Got it? So when you're in faith, then you understand that, wait a minute, I'm not anxious anymore because I know what's going to happen. I can see it. I said, I can see it. Look at Hebrews. And we went to Hebrews chapter 12. Boy, I haven't gotten to my lesson. I got to get my lesson pretty quick here. This is still review, folks. You got to see yourself healed. You got to see yourself well off. Come on, you got to see that house. And let me tell you, you can see it. Get in this word and meditate it, and let me tell you, the unreal or unseen will become more real than the seen. People will wonder what you're smiling at. Things this bad in your life, your car is on empty and so forth, and you still laughing. You say, yeah, but I got something coming. I've got something coming. Woo, say that. I've got something coming. Oh, I'm preaching tonight. Joseph saw the future. Because he saw the future, even when they put him in jail, he was still full of joy. I'm just saying it's a realm that you've been designed to operate in, but the boundary has been knowledge and revelation. That you got to get a revelation of this is yours. This is that other part of the spectrum you can operate in. What did I tell you, turn? Hey, look at Hebrews 12. Now, this is very plain. You can see it. He says this. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we are also are all compassed about with so many talabashata. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Wait. And the what? Sin, which does so easily what? Beset us. And let us run with what? Patience, the race that is set before us. In other words, run your own race. Don't try to run my race. My race is my race. You run your race. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and what? Finisher or developer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross, keep going, despising the shame, keep going, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So while he was on that cross, he saw us coming home. Yeah. Folks, not only did he see us coming home, turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, he said this, look at verse 19. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. This is Jesus talking. How do I know it's Jesus? It's in the red. And the third day he shall do what? He shall rise again. And you want to say, now, where did he get that from?
And I looked over here in Psalm. And if you look on here in the book of Psalm in chapter 16, and look at Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see what? Corruption. See, it takes about 4 days for a body to start decomposing in that time. But Jesus was raised and went back through that tomb and slipped on that body. And he came back and showed the disciples, say, handle me, boys. Check me out. Check me and see that I'm flesh and bone. Why didn't he say flesh and blood? Because the blood was gone to the mercy seat. You got what I'm saying? He saw he was going to hell, but he was going to be raised up. Why? Because if you meditate this word long enough, you can see your future. Got it? All right, I'll tell you what. We could just kind of dance around that all day, because you got some others. Look at in 2 Kings chapter 6. Remember the prophet of God said, Lord, open his eyes, and opened the young man's eyes, and he saw the angels and so forth and so on. So you can do a lot of that. How about Abraham? Abraham had to call it. God showed Abraham things of what he was going to be. He showed him some stars. And as he showed him those stars, Abraham began to call things that be not as though they were. God taught him that himself. And once Abraham did that, well, let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 real quick. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Are you learning something here?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I got 3 minutes on the clock. Can you give me just a few more minutes here? Because I want to hit this fear thing just a minute. Romans chapter, what did I say? 4. And look at verse 17. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So God taught Abraham to call things that be not as though they were. But look what happened. Who against hope believed in hope. Now remember, you can't have hope by itself, because if you have hope by itself, hope will always bring you to the future, meaning that hope will never bring, faith brings you to the now. You gotta bring whatever you're believing for into the now. You've got to not say, I'm gonna be healed. That's not the now, that's hope. You gotta bring it to the now. Say, by his stripes, come on, I am healed. You got what I'm saying? All right. Many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now remember what he had to go on. He didn't have anything natural to put his faith in. He only had the word of God that was given to him by an angel. And remember, that's what he put his faith in. So what you're getting in the Bible, you've got the word of God. All right, but that's real faith. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah had never had children, and now Sarah's going on 90 years old. But notice, he didn't look at the experience side of that. He didn't look at her body, didn't look at her age, didn't look at what man had said, didn't look at what science had predicted, all that. He didn't look at that. He only looked at the word of God. And look at that. And he staggered not at the what? Promise of God through what now? Unbelief. But was what? Strong in faith, keep going, giving glory to God. And being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, who promised it? God. He was what? Able also to perform. So what God promised you, he can bring it to pass. He just needs you to cooperate with him. Say amen to that. All right, now let me just give you one more scripture on that, because this is what some people run into. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, please. Jeremiah chapter 17. Over in Jeremiah chapter 17, I've got to move pretty quick. All right, look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that what? Trusteth in man, that maketh what? Flesh his arm. In other words, tries to make it on his ability alone. Okay. And whose heart, what? Departs from the Lord. Now notice what it says, depart from the Lord. Notice it didn't say this depart from the Lord, meaning that slowly that person has turned away from God and turned to their own ability.
to do something. You got what I'm saying? And it's a trick of the devil to try to get us to trust in our own ability instead of God's ability working through us. Are you following? All right. Now, he said, for he shall be like a heath in the desert. That's a dry bush. You can't, it's not good for shade. It's not got leaves on it. There's nothing good about it. And shall not see when good cometh. Now, that's what I wanted you to see. Anytime you're trying to walk by faith and depend on the world, the more you depend on the world, the less revelation you receive from God. See? So the less light you get, the more you depend on the world, the more you look into the world, the more you look into somebody to help, so forth and so on. When I was believing for this mall, I think it was Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Every possible avenue was eliminated. I had missed one closing because we didn't have the money. I'm believing God. Now, I believe I've received, believe I've received, believe I've received. Praise God, I believe I've received. But no money there. Now we're coming up on the last one. The lawyer calling. Pastor, where is the money? I said, well, I believe I received. I believe you received. What is that? I mean, that's right. They don't know anything about that. Okay? But I wanted to stay in faith. So I saw I couldn't do anything. I just prayed, gave myself over to the Lord. He said, the money's not there by Monday. Go to the bank. Wait a minute. Go to the bank. I just said, I've been to some banks. I've been to this bank, that bank, that bank. Notice, nobody had loaned it to me. All eliminated. Everything was eliminated. Now I got only God. I went home, got into bed, pulled a cover over my head, asked my wife. And didn't receive any phone calls and just laid there. I said, I don't know what to do, so I'm gonna lay down. And I did. Got it? And he said, the money's not there by Monday, go to the bank. Well, Monday came, money wasn't there. I said, okay. What kind of bank I'm going to? Sent me to a small bank, a black bank on the south side, African American bank on the south side. They sent me there. And I called him. I said, this situation. Yeah, Pastor Winston, I heard about you over there. Can you get me certain documents by 6 o'clock tonight? I said, yes, sir, I sure can. Went to Belinda at that time with our controller, got the documents together, took them over there. Next morning, got a call back 11 o'clock, says, Pastor Winston, you got your money. Right. Now, wait a minute. I told people that. They say, who loaned you the money? They said, no, he didn't. They didn't believe that. But without coming out, doing an environmental inspection, doing all of that, listen, jump over the steps. Because it was divinely arranged.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But he had to wait till I had exhausted all of those because he didn't want anybody to get credit for it but Almighty God. Now, I'm not saying go out and borrow money because he was telling me to do that because apparently something was supposed to happen. And it didn't happen. So he told me what to do to get it. And now the total amount was around for this, all this part, cause it, all this part, all down the hall and everything. I think it was, the whole thing was, this part was about, I don't know, $13 million, 14 something. And now we are 3 million something, almost paid off. And I'm gonna do an airplane campaign on this building. It's gonna be a building campaign. We're gonna pay this rascal off. Boom, boom, boom. Now, I'm saying that to just encourage you. That Abraham was fully persuaded. And sometimes what you gotta get over is fear. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now let's just run into that right quick, because this is where I want to pick up next time. Fear. This section I'm going to call absolute faith. Now, when I
When I was in school, you know, somebody who was in this helped me. They had a temperature that you can get below zero, and you can get at absolute zero. Somebody help me. It was like 273 degrees Celsius, and that was absolute zero. Absolute zero is a temperature that has no heat in it at all. None. Even when the temperature outside is 0 degrees, it's heat in it. But absolute zero is no heat. Anything that heats, hits it, freezes instantly. I said absolute faith. No fear in it. No unbelief in it. Come on now. And your faith will work pow, just like that. And I believe that's the kind of faith Jesus had, and that's the kind of faith we're going to have. I'm going to start there next time. Give the Lord a praise, because we got to quit. Anything that hits your faith, zap!